Welcome to the Friday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Cap Maury alongside. We'll take it at three, hand it off to our good friend Phil Benatti's fine show behind the bench until 5 today. And then Phil, along with Pat Hill and Paul Meadows, will head out to McLean Stadium tonight. They have moved that kick time as Bakersfield comes in against Bullard. They've moved it to 7:30, so a 7 o'clock pregame. I'll tell you all about the schedule a little bit later on. Brian Panis with us today. I'll get to Brian in a second. So we'll push the readers back for our great sponsors. I appreciate their flexibility on these Fridays because Brian does have limited time. But everybody from Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, who will allow us the time to bring the schedule to you, to Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, telling you how to donate to Fresno State, to Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, all about the weather, to our local KFC operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, who once again are part of the Bulldog Bread Collective. I'll get to all of them a little bit later, and also the entirety of the schedule for the weekend. But let's bring our great friend, Mr. Top Dog himself, recently back from Scotland. It is Brian Panis. BP, how you doing?
I'm doing great, John. Glad to be back.
Well, and look, you deserve due credit, and I've given this to you over air, your credit. Well, I'm going to try it this way. Brian obviously has a great affection for his alma mater, St. John Bosco, and so much so that, was it $7 million that you spent for that stadium? Brian, would you like to tell people how much money you spent for Panis Family Stadium?
That everything is fat is not true.
Yeah. Oh, everything is not
that way.
Okay. All right. Fine. All right. All I know is this, that when Speedy Luke, who is a Bosco Brave, transferred to Fresno State after Arizona, nobody was happier than Brian, and he was the first guy to say, he knows Donaldson is great, but just wait till you see Speedy Luke. So, all due credit to you, and I'm going to ask you, Brian, up front, because Paul Leffler brought it up when we were talking on Monday on air. Do you think it's going to take a substantial amount of money to keep Speedy here, or is he the kind of guy that will stay the course here? I mean, the good news is if he has the kind of breakout year that everybody wants him, that's good for Fresno State for this year. Confident he will stay the course here?
You know, Tony, it's amazing that you think about that after three games.
Leffler brought it up, pal.
When was that ever? I know, but I was thinking the same thing. I have to admit it.
Okay. Well,
but I think
I got it.
You know, he had better. My understanding was there was more financial lucrative deals on the table for him. He was looking for the fit. It was a great fit because, look, Donaldson is a great back. He's in running inside the tackles. But Speedy gives us another little twitch to it in that speed. And then with the freshmen running hard too, I mean, the three, four backs, you need them. If you're going to play Ants football, these guys, and I'm not fully aware of Donaldson's condition, but I was surprised that Speedy's getting so many carries and Donaldson wasn't. And obviously he was dinged a little in the game, which made sense, but Donaldson is going to be huge too. And the kind of football that Ents wants to play, you have to be able to run. And I was, for the last couple games, I've been impressed how they just stuck with the run. And they didn't get, even against Kansas when they couldn't run, they kept working it. And they're going to have to do that to play the football that Ents wants them to play.
Right. And you know, the point is well taken. In this day and age, and I know that is where you were headed and what Paul had brought up on Monday, it is just a reality, something that particularly for guys of our generation, it's hard for us to grasp that we've gotten to the point that we're worried about college players fully, legally being swept away. As you know, Brian, in the old days, if somebody heard a rumor about this, you would scream to the high heavens, to the NCAA about it. Now, it's the reality. If someone has a big checkbook, hey, we're just talking about what's going on, and you know this, with Steve Ballmer and potentially circumventing the cap that the NBA has with Kawhi Leonard, college, you don't really have any circumvention, and as long as you have a legitimate, and that's a pretty wide gap that they have for that right now, legitimate need to bring somebody in and a sponsor who can carry the weight, there's nothing you can do except to play, in this case, 2025 for 2025 and worry about 2026 when the time comes, right?
Yeah, I think that's the way the coach approaches it. You know, the certain players, they want more money. They just want to give it to them. They just think that's the way, right way to go. They got a better deal, then they should take it. If they don't really want to be there and be part of the program, then they should go somewhere else. And I think that's the only way you can handle it. And Tennessee handled it with the quarterback, and I think it's worked out pretty good for Tennessee so far.
And look, Oregon State spent a lot of money to bring a QB in, and he was not brilliant by any means against Fresno State. And so I'll ask you, Brian, we've seen the Bulldogs now for three games, for six halves. Of those six, one of the six halves, absolutely outstanding. That was the blueprint of what they wanted, the second half against Georgia Southern after actually trailing at halftime, mainly because of their own doing, of course, in the first half. But as you look at this taken as a whole, the six halves, are you of a mind to say the Bulldogs are right on schedule where you expected them to be right now?
I think they might be a little bit ahead of schedule just because I had the Washington, the Oregon State game as a wobbler, knowing that it's hard to play, knowing that, you know, they'd be jacked up. I know the students wouldn't be back. But I knew the quarterback. I knew that he was inconsistent. But I knew they would have, on the line, they would be tough, and I thought it would be tough for us to be able to run on them. It would be, you know, difficult for us. But I think we exceeded. You know, obviously they helped us, but we took advantage of the opportunity. So I don't fault the Bulldogs at all. I mean, you got to win whatever it takes, and that's what they did. So I think that. Hold on 1 second here. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right, Brown.
All right. I had to let my wife in here, but I just locked myself in a quiet room. But anyway, I think, yeah, you know how that goes.
Oh, yes, I do. It's usually the car and not by choice, but that's a different story. All right.
But anyway, I think they're a little bit ahead of schedule. But,
right,
you know, the schedule, the degree of difficulty is going to vastly increase after this week. And hopefully this week they'll play fine and get better. But, you know, the next game is going to be a barn burner.
Well, to that end, you've got a game. This is no disrespect to Southern University, but this is a game that if somebody is, like you mentioned, dinged up, it's time to rest them and get them well. Also, guys that have been out, you want to get them back in. But the biggest thing is you want to continue whatever momentum you have now after two wins, because after this week, it's all peer group the rest of the way. It's all conference, and every game has huge implication in trying to be one of the top two, particularly when, as you know, you've got to go to Boise at the start of November. So you really can't afford to stub your toe anywhere else with that Boise State game hanging there. That having been said, Brian, what is the biggest worry you have right now? Not about this Saturday necessarily, but what this team has got to do better, in your opinion, if they're going to be in that title top two in this conference?
Well, I mean, they're going to have to play better defense, obviously. They've not really stopped anyone at Georgia Southern in the second half, but they got to play better defense. And they got to be able to keep running the ball and do it better. And I think when you're running against Hawaii, you know, they're going to be tough in the line. And that's not going to be an easy run. I've watched their games. You know, it's my second most favorite team in the Mountain West. But Hawaii's dangerous at home, so that's going to be a difficult game. And there's other road games in the Mountain West that are difficult. And you need to be able to run and play the time of possession. So they're going to have to improve the run and get tougher on defense.
Speaking
and the quarterback's got to make it, you know, a little less, even though the turnovers have not been significant, in other words, causative to points, you got to cut down the turnovers and better ball security.
Well, all right, let's start there. Most of the feedback from the fan base has been the Bulldogs are winning despite Warner, not because of him. There's another school of thought that says he's doing exactly what Matt Entz wants, which is to keep the Bulldogs in games and let the burden fall on the running game and the offensive line, and they've delivered for the most part, except for Kansas. But I think objectively, Brian, and I've said this over and over again, right now you've got a quarterback who has won a couple of games, and there's no reason to make the change. But I don't think anything is etched in stone. So going forward, do you see E.J. Warner being the quarterback starting the rest of this year, or are you with me saying it's going to be as long as we win, he's there? If not, there's not going to be a hesitancy to make a change. I mean, that's how I view it. How do you view it?
Well, I would have liked seeing the other guy get John Conklin. I remember from high school, he was tough, Corona Centennial, and we had some battles with them. It's
right.
A top program. Top
right,
program,
just SoCal kid, coach. Though he went to Sac State. Right, exactly. Yeah.
Right, but you know, he's a baller. He's a winner, and he runs whatever it takes to win. But, you know, obviously the coach is putting the best guy out there. They believe in Warner. And Warner's doing enough, you know, just enough. You remember that song, Tony, I think it's back in the 70s, just enough for the city. So he's doing just enough, but I think they're going to need more.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
They're going to need a little more from him. I'd like to see the guy play, but I also think that Enns is likes to keep an even keel. And making a quarterback change, you know, kind of upsets balance and things change, and sometimes for the good and sometimes for the bad. And I think Ince likes everything to be regimented on his plan and vision. And I don't think he likes to vary too much. And if it's winning, if he probably believes, why do I want to break it now? Why do I want to fix something that's not broken? I think that's kind of my mindset of him as a coach, his philosophy. But I don't know. I mean, he might, you know, change that first series. But I think Warner has more experience. That's the bottom line.
Well, and that's what we've talked about all week, at least from my point of view. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Or as Charles Oakley said, as you know, if it ain't broke, don't break it, which meant the same thing in an odd sort of way. But I do agree with you. Continuity is everything. I also know this game is probably not going to tell you much about Fresno State unless the Bulldogs play poorly, because if they go out there and crush it for four quarters, the first rejoinder is going to be, and you understand this, so does everybody else in the fan base, yeah, it was against FCS opposition. Can you do this? Can you line up against your peer groups and beat them at the line? You weren't able to do it against Kansas. And one more time, the Bulldogs align pretty well with the Big 12 schools. Three of them, Fresno State, used to be in conference with. So those are peer group schools, though they're making more money right now. But undeniably, Oregon State and Washington State are peer group schools now, because they're going to be in your conference. And then everybody else, with Oregon State done, all you have left now are your conference mates from the Mountain West for this year. So, Brian, any comparison at all from what you've seen so far that you can plant on these Mountain West games for sure?
I think it's a lot remains to be seen. I think one thing the environment in Kansas was obviously not great for the Bulldogs, but when you go to Colorado State and you go to some of these places in the Mountain West, the boys that have to travel, it's an away game with a hostile crowd. So that's another element they haven't really had to do. Hawaii, wait until they get over there in that high school stadium. So you got to go there. You got to go to Colorado State. You got to go to Boise. I mean, those are three tough road trips in the Mountain West. Tough places to play, the time change, the altitude. So I think that's going to be a factor for them. They do have a nice schedule set up at home for them, the way the schedule kind of lays out. And, you know, it's yet to be seen. I think there's a lot that we don't know about this team. I think it's good that they did win that Oregon State game, even though they, you know, statistically they were outplayed. But the confidence level is what's the key, and I think the culture, what he's trying to instill is, hey, Fresno State might have lost these games in the past. We won. So what if they gained more yards? So what if they had bad special teams? We beat Oregon State at Oregon State. And I think next time you're playing and it's a tight game, you say, hey, we beat Oregon State on the road, we can beat Hawaii on the road. And I think that goes a long way to the psyche of the team.
Well, I would agree that, you know, we talk so often, stats a lot of times are the lament of the loser, because they stare at the stat sheet and they point out all the things they did well and they say, how did we not win the game? Well, the intangibles took you out, or, as you know, usually 4 to 6 plays in a game decided, and you can look at the Oregon State game and you can look at that handful of plays and see the Bulldogs made them where Oregon State did not. So Fresno State wins, and one more time, as long as you got more than the other team does on that scoreboard at the end, that's all that matters. That having been said, Brian, this is a team right now that would love to put a double-digit win season up there and at least get to the title game. If you lose at Boise, and I don't think the Broncos are great. They are not the same team they've been in the past. And without Genty, they do not have that one dynamic back at the moment. But still, they are Boise State, and you have to play them there. But if you were to look ahead and say, if Fresno State is playing in that title game at the end of the year, and this is a team that's hitting up at that 10-win mark, is this an outstanding season for Matt Entz, his first one in, if that's what happens? Whether you win the title or not, if you can get there in that top two, are you saying mission accomplished for this year?
Oh, beyond, you know, coach of the year, if you did that. I mean, I mean that's a long way to determine whether that happens, and a lot of hurdles for the Bulldogs. But they're getting better every week, which is good. And the defense got to stop them, though. They just can't give up that kind of yardage. You're not going to win all the games when you're killed like that on the, and then again, the run game by the other opposition.
Well, what is the problem? Look, you were a great safety at Fresno State. You played an outstanding defense. You also played with an offense we've talked before that can move the football as well as any offense we've seen here on the ground. You have to go all the way to the Derek Carr teams through the air that we saw in 2013 at thereabouts. But you know what it's like to play great D when you're watching it right now. Is it the D-line that's the problem? As you know, the secondary is supposed to be the strength of this team, but a lot of guys have been running open, though they've been able to make the plays and they've had to. Where is the big weakness? Is it the defensive line right now?
Well, I mean, the front seven is obviously not as good as it is in the Kansas or Oregon State, and Georgia Southern somewhere in between. They're not as good as those two, but they were decent. But so they have to commit more people to defend the run, which they're doing, which puts more pressure on the secondary and a lot more man coverage, which, you know, they like to play. They have good DBs or good athletes, and they haven't played as well as expected, up to expectations. So I think the defense has a lot of room for improvement, which is good. You know, but at times when they need it, you know, they block up and they make a big play. It's like you said, you know, it's 4 to 6 plays in the game. And if you look at the last game, all six were made by Fresno State.
Well, that's why the natives are so restless right now in Corvallis. They could be staring 0-4 or 0-5 in the face with their schedule coming up. For Fresno State, you know, we talked about the over-under at the start of the year at 6.5, and I thought that the Bulldogs would get beyond, and I still do, obviously, that win total. But it is true, as we discussed before the season even kicked off, Brian, that you have some of the road games just by luck of the draw in conference that are the toughest issues. And one more time, in conference, you would rather have the games that you're likely to win on the road and the tougher games at home so that you have that extra boost. Games like Colorado State and Hawaii that you figure to win if you're at home, do you still figure the Bulldogs win them on the road?
I think they can be toss-ups. I mean, Hawaii, we just look at historically, we know what happens in Hawaii. Some of the best Bulldog teams, what's happened to them in Hawaii. And Colorado State, we've had a great comeback there, but we've been hammered by Colorado State up there, too. And I think that's a Friday night game, too.
Yes, yeah,
it's
that's
a shorter week.
Yeah.
And they got a better team coming back. So I think both of those will probably be underdogs in both games.
All right, the last thing I want to ask you about is how good Speedy Luke is. I mean, look, I know the great affinity you have for him. I know he did not get a great shot at Arizona. Is he the otherworldly talent we're seeing right now? I mean, is this somebody who can do this consistently? Because right now, as Leffler and I talked start of the week, Brian, he scares the daylights out of anybody on the defense.
Hey,
defensive coordinators spending time up at night trying to keep the ball out of his hands. And the minute he touches it, you got to be looking him taking it to the house, because if you give him half a step, he's gone.
There's nobody faster on the field than him, Okay, let's just start with that. He came second in the 100 in the freshman in the state of California. Number two, when he makes that cut, and you saw it in this last game, I've never seen him been caught from behind. And you see him when he's in space, he's so quick, and then he just takes off like an airplane, like he, you know, does his little airplane celebration. I've never seen him, I've seen him doing that for 4 years, exactly what he's been doing in the last three games for Fresno State. The exact same thing. He did that all through high school. Arizona, he had a few games. I don't know what the issues were in Arizona. I think Fresno's a better fit for him.
Yep.
And I think he's happy. And he's used to carrying the ball. But, you know, he didn't have 25 carries a game at Bosco. He either could have 10 carries for 170 yards. And he was good in the passing game, too. But I love Donnelly. And I love number 31. I mean, they have good running backs, the Bulldogs.
Well, yeah, they've got a five-headed monster going when they're healthy. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, they've got guys like Ramirez, who's a real hammer. Gilliam can run between the tackles. We know how good Donaldson is. We know Arsenal, when he has a chance, it's just a matter of getting reps. I did want to ask you, what was it about Fresno State that brought Speedy Luke here? I mean, you know the story well.
Well, I mean, I think part of it was the culture. You know, it's an interesting story. I don't know if I told this. When Coach Tepford came back the second time, he called me one time and says, hey, what about so-and-so, this kid on Bosco? He's watched the film. I said, he's great, huh? He goes, yeah, man, he'd be great for anything. He's going to Arizona. Don't even bother. Because that's where he was going all along. Because he liked him. I mean, he just has that. You know, take it to the house on every play. You got to be paying attention to him because he's going to outrun your whole team if he gets open. That's when they stack the line and they get a little seam and he's gone. They're not going to catch him.
The other thing you brought up, if you're second in the 100 in the state of California, you are flat flying because this state obviously is filled. You remember when
ninth grade.
You remember when SI did at the start of the new millennium, they did the 50 best athletes from every state, and they got to California, and they said, you ought to see the people we left off the list. They left Hall of Famers like Robin Yount off the list, Don Drysdale, because there was simply not enough room. So the thing that
they don't call him Speed for nothing but a kid. He's 190 pounds.
Well, that's the point, Brian. You know, you and I are old enough to remember when O.J. Simpson, the late O.J. Simpson, was the great O.J. Simpson, meaning before all the baggage and everything else. And one of the things that Simpson had, I mean, he was actually, as you know, while he was in college, part of the world record-breaking 4x100 relay team at USC. But the thing was, O.J. Simpson was 6'2 and about 215 pounds. And so you realize that his football speed was going to be there because he had the size. Usually the guys that are flyers at the size of Speedy Luke as a track and field guy, they don't carry it on the football field to that extent because they don't have the size and the power when they're in the pads and everything else. He doesn't seem to be bothered by that at all. That's what's extraordinary. 190, he hasn't lost much, has he?
No. You know who's on the record-breaking team with O.J. and the 400 meters, his teammate?
Well, McCullough was on that thing, too.
Earl McCullough.
Yes.
Exactly. Yep. Long Beach Poly.
That's right.
But no, I think he runs just like I saw him in high school. I mean, every game he's waiting for Speedy, he's going to break one. On the kickoffs, he's good too. Obviously, you've seen how he's done the kickoff returns.
Well,
he's going to break some kickoff. They weren't even kicking it to him. They kick it to him, he's going to break it.
It reminds me of when they were doing a retrospective about one of my favorite guys, the late, great Gale Sayers, the Kansas Comet. Fran Tarkenton, the old quarterback, of course, the Vikings at the time, talking about his special teams trying to keep the ball away from Gale Sayers. And he said, we kicked it to him in the end zone. And he said, I swear to you, it looked like he was shot out of a cannon. He said, because he ran past all of us. And he goes, just standing there going, you just can't kick the ball to him. You're better off to squib it. I was just curious. In high school, did they just squib the ball to keep it away from Speedy Luke? I mean, I don't think anybody ever kicked to him.
Well, they do, but, you know, the Trinity League, they got the kickers and put in the end zone, Tony, so nobody runs it back.
Well, that's true. That's right.
Every team's got a guy that puts in the end zone. There are no kickoff returns.
Well, that's because that's the specialty until they back it up or do what the NFL has done now to force you to actually return the kick by bringing it out.
Speaking of high school football, you know, you did see that number four, St. Francis, played number two, St. John Bosco, and St. John Bosco won.
Yeah, like I said, that's the rosary battle once again. All right, as I let you go, one thing, are you going to be able to head home, the home away from home, to watch Hawaii and Fresno State in person, or will work not allow that?
I'm working. I would like to go to the game. What I'd really like to see, though, and I hope they're bringing them, is the Southern Band at halftime.
Yeah, they're supposed to be here. Yeah, the Human Jukebox.
That would be a highlight for me. I'd like to see that.
Well, that's supposed to be the case, and the game should be streamed. I believe the Mountain West Network will pick up the Channel 47 feed and put it up there, so everybody out of the area should
get some coverage on that halftime show.
Well, look, it is a great treat to watch that band, and we're just very relieved that they were able to come out and play, because there was, after the tragedy in Utah, a school of thought because of the lockdowns that maybe they were not going to be able to come out here. I had mentioned on air, Brian, if the game would have been back in Louisiana scheduling-wise, they probably would not have played it because of the security issues around the stadium. But because they're coming out here, I don't think there was ever a major question. The band was always supposed to be here. And, look, this is an important game for Fresno State, and you know this and so do I. You don't want to lose momentum now, because you don't have a bye week before Hawaii. You've got to get ready to play a game that's going to count a great deal, and every game you play in conference, it can be a decider in regard to being in that one or two slot. You lose early here, Brian, you may not be able to get it back. That's all there is to it.
And that Hawaii quarterback's a playmaker.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Well, by the way, last question, did you enjoy Scotland?
I did. It was very nice. Learned a lot of history. I had a little scotch, and that was good. But now I'm back ready for football and work.
Well, I know. In that order, or
well, I did do one show from Scotland. So
well, you were fine. You were great, and it was 10 o'clock at night, and I do appreciate that. All right, Paisan, have a great one.
Will you be able to talk to me?
Hey, are you going to be able to talk to me from Hawaii, as far as you know? Are you going to be able to do that next Friday?
We're going to see. We'll see.
Okay.
See how the week
all
goes.
Right. Well, let me know if you're in transit or not. All right, Brian, I'll see you, pal. I'll see you. All right. All right, guys, our great friend Brian Panish, live and direct from Los Angeles, where, again, my favorite part of this interview was the fact that he had to let his wife in, because, like I said, if I keep my wife waiting, I'll find myself in private circumstances, either sitting in the backyard with the dog saying, did you do something wrong on the couch too? Or I'm out in the car because she told me to go away. But that's only been going on for 43 years now, so I'm sure Brian doesn't have that issue at all. And if I say anything further, I'll have to find somewhere else to hang out in the next, after 26 minutes. All right. That having been said, I want to get to our sponsors right now. Thanks to all for waiting sponsorship-wise. First, bring you the weather courtesy of our great and longtime sponsors at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Been in the Central Valley since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. Give them a call at 825-5337, which is 825-LEES, for anything you need. They also sponsor the LeesAir.com hotline. That's how guests like Brian Panish come up, and also how, in addition to his guests, Phil is able to make the callers from the general public available to everybody to hear their voice and what they may have to say about Fresno State or any other sport that's pertinent to the Central Valley, and that is 559-320-1430. That is the LeesAir.com hotline, so mark that one down. As far as the forecast goes, one more day in the 80s, and then we start to return to form again. Anybody who thought that summer was gone, you clearly have not spent much time in Central California. All right. It's going to be 87 today, a low of 65. Again, still a little hazy. on the valley floor, not as bad. The Garnet Fire is still raging. They're doing everything they can. It certainly is impacting things at Shaver and at Huntington in the upper reaches. There might actually be some thunderstorms in the upper reaches. In the Giant game the other night, you had some showers during the game. But for us, it's going to be dry on the valley floor, but maybe up in the foothills there's some rain. Possibly that could help. Well, the problem is the lightning strikes come along with that, and then you end up with more fires. But right now, we should be okay in the valley floor. Be careful up in the foothills. After the 87 today, 92 on game day, a low of 62, so it should be fairly pleasant once we get into the game. I know if you're seated on the eastern side of the stadium and you get there early, it could be kind of tough, but hang in there until it cools off a bit. Also, you've got a 91 on Sunday, 94 Monday, and then we get back closer to normal, at least for what we're used to. 98 on Tuesday and 100 on Wednesday, 99 on Thursday, and the lows will return to around 70. So a little bit under seasonal average right now. We'll go a little bit above, but one more time, as we know, until we get to right around the second week of October, you have to be ready for triple digits in this town and this valley as a whole. Anyway, thanks everybody at Lee's again for allowing us the time to bring you the weather. Again, leesair.com, 825-5337, 825-LEES. Anything you need, central air, plumbing, heating, or roofing, give them a call or jump on to the net and check out whatever you need to in the way of contact information. They'll get back to you in a very big hurry. All right, the other thank yous go out to, first of all, to our friends at KFC in Fresno, in Clovis, in Selma, in Kerman, the local operators. It's great to have this international and national company, a longtime legendary company, of course, KFC, firmly behind Fresno State with the local operators, helping out through the Bulldog Bread Collective. Again, bulldogbread.com, critically important for NIL monies. And right now at KFC, in the local jurisdiction of Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, you have a special deal going on. They have, for a limited time, brought back the very popular hot and spicy wings and potato wedges. Everybody loves them, always a fan favorite, and so they're there for you right now. Don't wait on it. It's a limited time offer. Also, at the same time, while competitors are making their food smaller and more expensive, the KFC fried chicken sandwich remains bigger and better than anybody else's, and it is just $3.99, again, for a limited time, an unbeatable deal. So stop by the KFCs in Fresno, in Clovis, in Selma, in Kerman. Pick up a bucket or two or hot and spicy wings and wedges or the Kentucky Fried Chicken Sandwich, all of it there at the local operators. And when you stop in, tell them thanks for being part of the Bulldog Bread Collective and lining up behind Fresno State to try to level the playing field the best everybody can here. All right, speaking of people that are helping out Fresno State, I want to acknowledge our friend Ed Dunkel, his great business, Precision Civil Engineering, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. PrecisionENG.net for more information or 449-4500. They bring you the schedule, or bring us the time anyway, to bring you the schedule. Like I said, I could call Ed up and he could read the schedule if you'd like. I think Ed's a little busy, however. Okay, so I'll do it. And by the way, I do want to thank Ed for everything he does for Fresno State. He was on the flight to Corvallis, and everything that he does for the Lyles College of Engineering there on campus at Fresno State, a proud graduate of it, and also a lot of folks from Fresno State, those alums working at Precision Civil Engineering here in town. As far as the lineup goes, high school football tonight on 1430, 7 o'clock, the pregame. It will be Phil, Paul Metters, and Pat Hill at McLean Stadium. The legendary Drillers of Bakersfield, the most successful high school team in the history of the Valley. They come in to play Bullard tonight at McLean. They'll kick it at 7:30 with the pre at 7 o'clock. Nobody has more Valley titles than the Drillers do. And so that's a great matchup tonight on our air. The A's and the Reds are over on 790 tonight, a 7:05 with a 6:30 pregame. And because the Giants and the Reds are a game and a half back of the Mets for that final slot right now, the wild card, This is a very important game. So scoreboard watching for the Giants. The Giants and Dodgers, of course, are up at Oracle tonight. Because of the high school game, we won't have the Giants tonight. We will have them over the weekend. But that game in Sacramento tonight will be of great interest to Giant fans, that's for sure. So check that out. Also, for us, we started the NFL weekend, as I'm sure you're aware, last night with the Packers and the Commanders. We have national games, of course, on Sunday night. We have the doubleheader on Monday, Major Wager Monday at 5 o'clock with Carter and the gang at Me and Ed's Victory Grill, Cedar and Dakota, Granite Park. Stop by for that. Great giveaways, terrific food, and the games as well there. And one of those games will involve the Raiders. So we'll have the network game and the Raider game between 7:90 and 14:30, that doubleheader on Monday. 49ers and the very beat-up 49ers and the Saints tomorrow on 14:30. Then it'll be, or on Sunday, then it will be the Giants and Dodgers. Giants and Dodgers, of course, tomorrow as well. And the Rams will be on 7:90 in the morning on Sunday. And then for us, we roll through next week and we'll see if the Giants are still in a position. They can get there, and they were a long way back, but they can't afford to lose. And after the Dodgers this weekend at home, the Giants still have to deal with games in Arizona. Diamondbacks are still within reach, and then the Dodgers. And as we mentioned, the Dodgers right now figure to be locked in pretty much that three slot, that three seed. It doesn't look like they can get to two. So the motivation as far as getting the bye early on is probably not there, but they do have one motivating factor beyond the fact they don't like the Giants. The team they hate even more, the Padres, are only 2.5 back in the division, so the Dodgers don't want to lose the division, which affects your seeding. So we'll see how things play out. So the Giants are going to have a good weekend, and then we'll pick them up next week. And then as far as the regular lineup of the shows, Phil normally 3 to 6 Monday through Friday with his fine show Behind the Bench, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Avedica in El Paso across from River Park. Best furniture on the planet, the great conversation of Phil's show, Good Eats as well, and the LeeZaire.com hotline to give him a call at 559-320-1430 if you can't stop in person. Paul Metters will be with Phil for the game tonight, and of course Pat Hill will be there as well because the Bulldogs are at home tomorrow. Paul has two fine shows, Sunbird Sports Show on our sister station, The Deuce 790, Wednesday 6 to 7 p.m., and then on Saturday mornings, 10 a.m. to noon, First String Sports, Central Valley Sports Report. Two great shows, so check those out as well. We're with you, TDAD1 at ATT.net, TDAD, the number one, at ATT.net. I'm with you weekdays at 2 o'clock. First names are fine in the emails. I'm behind on the emails, of course, guys. I'll do the best I can. Please keep them coming. I'll get to them eventually. I've said to some people from 2017, I will get there eventually, I promise. All right, everything for the station, 1430 ESPNFresno.com. You find the live links and podcast there. And then finally, the very important Bulldog Bread Collective, bulldogbread.com. Mark Marion wants to hear from you. Any donation, big or small, any sponsorship idea, bulldogbread.com, bread as in on the table, BREAD.com. And that segues to our final reminder from our great and longtime friend, Joe Cruz, and his outstanding business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, celebrating its 25th anniversary in town. And Joe is one of the guys who has been a longtime benefactor, Fresno State, and someone who has helped out for everything we've needed as well. And we really appreciate it. And right now, if you're someone working at a plant, if you're a maintenance person, if you're a tanker delivery service person, around a boiler service, anybody who works around valves from an industrial standpoint, if a valve goes down, your business can come crashing down. And what Joe has at Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, the best components around, the best pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, suction hoses, all there under one roof at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103, or you can give them a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE, or go to the web at superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabe, who works for Joe, has a direct email. For more information, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. Joe has all of that for you, and most importantly, family-friendly, same-day estimate, same-day service. So you tell Joe what your problems are professionally with your business. He'll analyze it, and he'll get you up and running. If you're down, if you're close to it, the catastrophic outcome, he can find a way to stop the bleeding right away so that you don't hit that terrible turn to your bottom line. Again, 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town, Suite 103, 266-7473. Again, 266-PIPE, anything you need in regard to his fine business. And then if you do stop by and you have a few minutes after Joe addresses your needs, he will tell you what he has done to help out at Fresno State and will point you to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. The donate link at the top, click on that, take you to different areas of donation. BulldogFoundation.org has a link. So does Myers Champion Circle. Information for tickets and parking for all events on campus. And then finally, under ways to give, the individual sports clubs are there. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtig with me every week to talk basketball. He, on the board of directors, would love to see more members. Said you can call him directly for more information, 559-287-3305. That's his cell. Or hit him up on his email, FurtigJack@AOL.com. Also, links are there for other men's and women's sports. For instance, dugout club for baseball, links for softball and other women's sports as well, under ways to give. And then, as we mentioned a moment ago, check out everything you need through Marcus McMarion, BulldogBread.com for other NIL information. All right, that is the group of sponsors. Thanks to one and all for allowing me the time to push those back a little bit. Normally do it at the start of the show, but Brian does have a lot of work to do at home, obviously, but particularly business-wise. He is the best lawyer on the planet, ladies and gentlemen, despite the fact I kid him nonstop. He is a great, great lawyer and just a lot of fun because we've known each other for a good long while. All right, take a break. Come back. I'm going to have Jackson up here to answer the question once again, and that is he leaving the bark board? No. Is he leaving town? No. But he'll tell you himself one more time for those that have emailed and asked. We'll do that after this as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Friday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. 51, 3 or 4 minutes from the show. Thanks, as always, Brian Panis for his time on a Friday. And thanks again to the sponsors, to Ed Dunkel, everybody at Precision Civil Engineering, to Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe Stainless Supply, the local operators at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, and to Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing for allowing me the time on these Fridays to move their sponsorship notes back a little bit so that Brian can jump in during what is normally his lunch hour. Sometimes Brian will actually, if he's in court, this is honest to God truth, ask the judge if he could have the recess at 2 o'clock so that he could go on the air with me, and incredibly judges have said, okay, you can go ahead and do that. I just think of an incredibly important trial being held up. Brian and I having a conversation about Speedy Luke. But there you go. That's what happens when you love something as much as we love Fresno State Athletics. And a very understanding judge, I might add, or two. All right. By the way, want to bring Jackson up very quickly. Something from yesterday. I talked about Todd Beamer yesterday and his heroic, and I do mean heroic, action. You cannot be a greater hero than Todd Beamer and the individuals who took that plane down in 9/11 to save so many lives, though they knew it would cost them their own. I did not bring up our longtime friend Otis Vincent Tolbert. I brought up Vince every time he was at the Pentagon, another tremendous hero, and I don't want for one moment for those folks in the South Valley to think I forgot about Vince. I did not. I just didn't have time yesterday. So I want to make sure I acknowledge another hero from this area that we lost on 9/11. All right, that having been said, let me turn to Jackson Moore right now, our de facto co-host, BarkBoard.com, to answer the question. Jackson, one more time, this time from our good buddy Paul G. and Paso Robles and a few others. You are reassigned, if you will, but you are not dropping the bark board, nor are you leaving town, correct?
That is correct. I'm very fortunate with this new position I got with 24/7 Sports covering Oregon football recruiting that it's largely remote. You know, in fact, as I dig into the Oregon Ducks recruiting board, pretty good database here in 2027. They have like 30, 40 offers in California, just one in Oregon. So it almost makes more sense for the Oregon Ducks recruiting reporter not necessarily to be right there in Eugene, because there's not a lot of recruiting action other than what they're able to do on campus as far as where all the prospects are going are. So I get to do that. I get to stay here in Fresno and cover the Bulldogs as well. And don't have to be on the road nearly as much with all the other schools that I previously covered.
And then I no longer can give you a bad time about posting for boards in Hawaii, San Jose, Cal, Stanford, Guam. So it takes away my fun, but I do understand it's a lot better for you. And by the way, if you've got an out-of-state school like Oregon, but all of the in-state recruiting is California, you could also then do that for Boise State, because that's exactly how they recruit, if you've ever checked their roster. There's a nice elbow for Boise State right there. Way to recruit that home ground, provided that home ground happens to be Los Angeles in the Bay Area. All right. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. Now, also, I said the other day that you can't leave the show or Guido and Vito will come and visit you. I just want to make clear to people, that's absolutely true. That part was true. He was threatened by me. Jackson said, you know, I think I have to leave the show. And I said that Guido and Vito are going to be at your front door saying, Mr. Moore, we need to have a conversation. That's how I run things. I don't make any pretense about it. All right. As I let you go, that's a joke. Anybody out there in law enforcement, that's a joke. All right. Man, I'm telling you. Okay, Jackson, in the last 45 seconds here, your prediction real quick about tomorrow, people didn't hear it. I think they're just going to go in there, run it for four quarters, play as solid as they can, and build momentum for Hawaii, not get anybody hurt, rest anybody who's dinged up. Am I right or am I wrong about this?
I think that's the plan. I kind of feel like they would like to at least sprinkle in some downfield passing, maybe just kind of prove that they can do it, work on a few concepts that maybe if they make a mistake this time around, it won't hurt them too bad if they can have control of this game. But with this style of play, you know, unless you come out of the gates with some home run, touchdown runs, you know, it might take a little bit longer to get ahead. But even against the FCS opponents that Southern has faced, it seems like they've worn down in the second half. So it seems like a good recipe for the Bulldogs to ground out the ball and then really run off with it after halftime if they haven't already. And hopefully we'll see a little bit of the passing game mixed in as well.
Well, we'll see what happens again. If you can't make it in person, the game is on Channel 47 with three good friends of ours, Matt Norville, Cam Worrell, and Taylor Martinez on the sidelines. And Jackson, I'll leave you with this. Brad Garrett, who for many years was Robert, the older brother on Ray Romano's great show, Everybody Loves Raymond. He was also a stand-up comedian, and he at one time opened for Frank Sinatra, and he said that he knew the audience was only there for Frank, not for him, and so he jokingly said, you were great, stick around for Frank, as a joke, because he knew the audience was just there for Frank. He said he goes back to his dressing room, and two of Frank's associates come in and go, Mr. Sinatra would like to know why you made a comment about stick around for Frank. Are you saying Frank is late? And he said the other henchman said, I think he said stick it to Frank, okay? So I'm saying you have to be very, very careful who you're dealing with. That's all I'm telling you. All right, I hope people visit the board. I'll talk to you on Tuesday, Jackson. Have a great one. Take care.
You too, Tony. Thank you.
All right, de facto co-host Jackson Moore. Thanks to Jackson. Thanks to Jorge. Of course, thanks to Brian Panish. Phil is coming up. Two outstanding hours, and then he, Pat Hill, Paul Metters out at McLean Stadium. Might be a good one tonight, Bakersfield and Bullard. We'll see you guys on Monday on KFIG Fresno.